It's 20 to 12. It's daytime on Downtown with me, Siobhan McGarry, this Friday morning. And I am delighted to have three gentlemen in the studio. Father Eugene and Father Martin O'Hagan and Father David DeLargy, the priests from 2008, the big album, the first album, and you're still together, as you said, Father Eugene. You've seen off One Direction.
Well,
who else?
JLS.
Yeah.
We used to joke that we were the ecclesiastical version of JLS. It's three of them, three of us, but that's not strictly true, I suppose.
Like, 7 years on, Father Martin, it has flown past, I'm sure.
It has been amazing. It has been a bit of a roller coaster, to be very honest. But we have had wonderful high points in the whole journey. We've been able to travel to a variety of places across the world to bring the music which we have loved so much, as we've been singing together for, well, now over 40 years. So it's been fantastic.
And Father David, still managing to keep down the day job?
Absolutely. Yes, I have moved parish in the last year from Hannistown all the way down the hill to St Michael the Archangel in West Belfast. I think it's about a mile and a half, so it didn't move too far away.
Do you cycle to work or do you take the old Bentley to work?
No. Sometimes I walk.
So you're parish priest at St. Michael
the Archangel, yes.
In West Belfast. Father Martin, you're a parish priest at Ards and Cumber. Father Eugene, what's happened to you at Ballyclare and Ballygowan? You're not a parish priest.
No, I'm administrator. Some people are, poor Eugene. No, some people are very impressed.
Have you been
by
overlooked?
That. No,
Eugene,
no, no, it's just I.
Do you feel a bit left out?
No, absolutely. Of course, no. All the good people at Ballyclare and Ballygowan, they would be up to lynch you. Absolutely, no.
That's very Christian, oh, yes.
Sorry, but forewarned is forearmed here. The reason why I rejoice in that title is because I have a couple of other jobs as well. I work in diocesan administration at the bishop's office, GHQ offices. So
would you say you actually work harder than?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Father Martin, glad
you brought that up.
Don't encourage.
And
him,
as
please.
You can see, it shows.
I'm sure I work as hard.
Guys, would you ever have dreamed that things would have taken off for you the way they did over the last 7 years?
No, absolutely not. No, not in 2008. I think we got when we were approached, we thought, this is nice, we'll get the opportunity to make an album. We always wanted to, in a sense, capture our voices, shall we say. But even then, it was quite expensive to cut an old CD. But when somebody comes along and says to you, we're going to cut a CD and we're going to pay for it, we said, well, that's not a bad deal.
It's so funny sitting here with three priests talking about cutting CDs.
You know how it is?
Yeah.
You know, wreck on them. But but that was really, in a sense, what happened. We had no idea that it would kind of, you know, mushroom into what it has become.
And what for you over the 7 years? I'm sure you get asked this all the time. What's been the highlight? Now, don't say singing in the Vatican.
No.
Because I'd say probably for the three of you that's very special. So we'll rule the... sorry about that. Trying to stab you with my pen.
Your pen.
So we'll rule the Vatican out as that being the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Would that be fair enough?
Okay.
Yeah.
And after the Vatican, for you?
Well, somebody asked me that just very recently. And I suppose now with the benefit of hindsight, you can sort of put things into perspective. And we only ever sang in the Odyssey once, and that was to a group of 6,000 people, and that was shortly after our album came out in 2008. And that stands out for me.
And you've been all over the world, and yet the Belfast gig is the home gig.
You know, it's home gig, and it's the biggest concert group that we sang to. In a sense, now we were involved in other large concerts down through the years, but this was our own kind of bespoke audience, you may say, local audience. So 6,000 people, good Ulster folk and beyond, took the trouble to come up the motorway, join the queues, park the car, get into the Odyssey, and we were like trembling jellies getting onto the stage.
Because there were some grannies and aunties.
But you know, I think singing before your own home people is
proving the privilege yourself in your own backyard as well, because sometimes, you know, it's harder to do.
Exactly.
You know, because there are always the people that'll be out there to knock you. Well, they're not They're not that good.
I remember them.
Father Martin on a Sunday, and it's just all auto tuned.
Excuse me.
Well, you know him so well.
Father Martin, what about you? Well, what's the gig that stands out for you?
Well, I have to go right back to the very beginning, really. As we journeyed down, I went down with Eugene in the car to Armagh for the very first night that we actually performed as the priests. And I think for me that was a real threshold, crossing a threshold into something entirely new. It was also an opportunity for us again to sing to our home audience, but also to say thanks to so many people that have been so much a part of our lives and have encouraged us in the music. One particular person was Sister Mary Gertrude, who was there. She was in her 90s at that point. God rest her now. But it was lovely for us to be able to acknowledge her publicly, as well as so many others, and to say thanks for the tremendous input that people have had in our lives.
All right, Father David, go for the showbiz one. Okay. Come on, go for the Sydney.
I'm trying to think, when did I ever think to myself, you know, I have to pinch myself to make sure that this is actually real and is really happening. So I was trying to use that as a kind of a guide. And one of the events that we were involved with was when Pope Benedict came to the UK a couple of years back, and we performed in front of 80,000 people in Hyde Park as part of the warm-up. Now, we were part of the warm-up to warm up the crowd for before the Pope arrived. And then that evening, he led a prayer event on the stage, and we sang. So there to be in the presence of the Pope and singing in front of 80,000 people was one of those moments. Another moment was Croke Park, in front of a live audience of about 75,000, and we really had to pinch ourselves. Is this really?
It wasn't a sellout gig then.
But you know, one of the things that really meant an awful lot to me was quite recently we did a concert in All Saints Church in Ballymena. And that's the place where I was baptised and confirmed, made my first communion. I was ordained a priest there 26 years ago. And there we were, the three of us, in my own home church, in front of my own home audience, if you like.
That was one of those very,
very, very special moments. Out of all the concerts we've done in different parts of the world, that really was a very happy one for me.
It's fascinating to hear that. Now, Father Eugene, as a priest, does that mean that, you know, trying to fit the day job in around everything else, mm-hmm. and being the superstars that you are?
Yes. He loves it.
Yeah, stop that.
I'm interested to know, is there something in your remit as a priest that you have to say Mass every Sunday? Or you know, okay, as a Catholic, you attend Mass every Sunday and on feast days. But as a priest, does it mean you have to say Mass every Sunday? And how do you fit that all in?
Yeah, well, in positions like ours, you know, in parishes, yes, you do celebrate Mass, and you have to celebrate Mass.
Given that you're not a parish priest,
even given that I'm not a parish priest, I've all the worries, none of the joys. We are obliged now. Sometimes circumstances change, and of course you can't. So if you were ill, etc., you don't have to go to celebrate Mass. But you have an obligation because you offer it for your people on that particular day. But strictly speaking, it's the obligation is to attend. But of course, you know, whilst the law might say something, you're called the minimum. You're called to more than the minimum, and that's the basis of why we.
And did you ever feel, Father Martin, that you needed to take a break and just, you know, maybe take a sabbatical from the priesthood and concentrate on the music? Or were any of you tempted to do that? Is that something you've had to?
Well, it's all about the juggling again, and I think that had we had the opportunity, yes, I think we would have been welcomed it very much indeed and would have run with it. But because our numbers are decreasing, that's just not a possibility. Although there are new opportunities coming in now to the diocese where we might have a chance at a later stage, but that all has to be worked out, where priests do get a little bit of a chance to have a renewed sense of spirit in terms of their vocation. But for ourselves, we continue to juggle the dinner set as much as possible and keep things spinning. But the music is, I also believe, informed by our experience in parish. It's woven into how we sing and what we sing.
And Father David, do these two as brothers, twin brothers?
No, I have a twin sister.
I knew there were twins somewhere.
Yes,
twin sister.
Twin sister, yes.
Twin sister, right. So, yeah. Father David, do these two as brothers gang up on you?
They do.
Who's the boss? Who's the bossy one? Who's the one?
Well, Eugene, kind of being the elder statesman, tends to sort of assume that role, you know, of leadership. And he does it very well, to his credit. Martin kind of aspires to that, and sometimes Eugene lets him have a go at it. I just have to kind of tag along.
Martin,
humour them.
This sounds like a bit of a political debate. Now, Martin, would you like to have your say?
I couldn't possibly comment.
I'll get him afterwards, don't worry.
You'll get him afterwards. Gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much.
You are making an appearance at the Waterfront Hall on the 20th of December and you're in the Millennium Forum.
On the 21st of December.
And then before that, you're in Limerick, you're in Letterkenny, you're in Cork, you're in Wexford. And in between all those, do you have to go back up to St. Mass?
Absolutely, back to the parish.
Good for you. Do you know, it's a hard old act to juggle.
But
what happens with... I'm going to be really, really crude now. I'm going to ask you, what happens with all the money?
Well,
is that a really, really cheeky question to ask?
No, it's not. People ask it all the time.
We're often asked it. We have a priest. We've established a priest's charitable trust. It was one of the things we did in the very beginning. We established this trust and profits, if you like, from album sales and concert incomes and so on, are funneled into that charitable trust. And the money then is dispersed to various charities of our choosing. And to date, we've been very fortunate. We've been able to help people in Cambodia and Uganda. We've built schools and helping education in Thailand for about 200 young people. And we're helping, you know, the homeless, Sight Savers, and various charities that are kind of close to our own hearts.
You know, that's lovely. So, that's brilliant. Yeah, and, you know, it must be particularly nice for you to be able to do that.
Yes,
so can I say the priest is a priesthood is a profession, it's a vocation, but given the vocation that you followed in your life, to be able to do all that good must be a great feeling.
There's lots of people out there who are doing similar work in different fields. So
no Bentley's pulling up at Ballyclare, Ballygowan, or Ards in Canberra, or even up in West Belfast.
Might be tempted, but we haven't succumbed to it.
Have you treated yourself to anything? You know, is there anything really?
I must say, I'm a wee bit of a gadget man.
I like a gadget.
So that's a wee weakness of mine, but I justify it must be said, because I need to be contactable. So therefore, the old iPhone 6 is very good. And I can get all my emails on it, and I can answer the emails no matter where I am.
Patrick is your phone cover.
That's my phone cover. Well, that's a wee bit of propaganda, you see. People say to me, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, look into the eyes of St. Patrick there on the back of the phone." That's uploaded from my photo box.
Father Martin, have you treated yourself to anything? Is there one luxury?
I did buy a set of headphones sort of cancels out all the noise.
You'd like it on sometimes with these two boys.
Sometimes I definitely have to put them on.
And what about you, Father David?
Well, I have to say, like Eugene there, I kind of like to see what the latest gadget is. Now, I don't always go for it, but I like to look at it, and if my own one is kind of out of date, or, you know, I might succumb to it. But if I have an iPad, I use the iPad all the time. I mean, I use it for work and travel and everything. It's so convenient. So I have done that. And
you don't do it during your eulogy off the
altar? Well, yes, I would use it. I would sometimes use it, let's say, if I'd made notes during that I wanted to use for a homily or a sermon or something, I would use it at the lectern.
You're so with
it. And I also use it.
Excuse me.
I also use it for masses in various nursing homes. And places like that I visit in the parish, I have all the texts.
Get with the programme, Father Eugene. So
he does that as a PP, I don't do that as an administrator.
Can't let you go without giving us a little rendition of something. And, you know, it's almost December, so I think we can get away with something Christmassy. Yes. A couple of little verses.
Lovely.
Yeah, this is, I'm dreaming of a White Christmas.
It's time for writing the Christmas cards, isn't it?
Yes.
So this is a suitable choice.
Take it away, David.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where
the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Da-da-da. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. Father Eugene O'Hagan, Father Martin O'Hagan, Father David DeLargy, absolute pleasure having
Thank you
in the
so
studio.
You
do come back
much.
And see us again soon. And if you would like to go and hear a little bit more of White Christmas
and jingle bells,
and a lot more besides the Waterfront Hall on Sunday the 20th of December and the Millennium Forum on Monday the 21st. Thanks ever so much
Thank
for coming.
Thanks.